Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
This is the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast hosted by Lifeway. Ron's mission is to help church leaders become better leaders, and I'm your host, Nate Edmondson. Today, we're going to talk about some common derailments in church revitalization. Pops, this is something that you probably talk a lot about, I'm guessing. Is that true?
Yes. I talk about it a lot, and I see it a lot.
So tell us briefly just your story real quick. So just tell us your experience with church revitalization.
Well, the first church that we did after we surrendered to vocational ministry was a church revitalization. I was bivocational, part-time, rural church, but we saw some great things happen there. The last church that I pastored as full-time senior pastor was church revitalization, a church that had fallen on hard times, much larger church, more historic, very historic church. And we saw God do some incredible things. As we record this, I am currently serving as an intentional interim in our home church, my home church, your home church, in church revitalization. So I've had a lot of experience. Because of that, I've been able to have hundreds, literally hundreds of conversations with churches that are attempting church revitalization, spoken at various conferences about it, Exponential and different ones. So it's just been a subject that I've been involved in for many years.
And with all of your conversations with people about this subject, you've probably heard some things that made you go, oh gosh, don't do that. And in your own experience, you've done some things that were not smart. So what are practices or things that can derail a church trying to revitalize?
Well, the first one that I always list, and I think we have to, as pastors, take it upon ourselves. You know, there's a whole other podcast there of whether you should even step into church revitalization. But the first one that I always mention is simply the arrogance of the pastor. And I say that in love. You know, I love pastors. I spend most of my time coaching and talking to pastors. So I am a pro-pastor guy. But, you know, the worst thing a pastor can do is walk into a church attempting church revitalization and assuming they've got all the answer or nothing good has ever been done there before. You know, I walked into Leadership Network a few years ago, and it was felt much like church revitalization. It was an older organization, 35 years, needed some new life, needed to learn some new ways. And I almost forgot this principle because I would suggest something. Hey, we ought to think about this. Well, they had thought about that 20 years ago, you know. And in fact, Leadership Network thought about it before anybody else thought about it. And sometimes they thought about it too soon. So I had to relearn this principle within the first few months and just say, okay, and just even acknowledge, okay, this has probably been talked about before. You've probably got some history with this. Can we talk about it again and bring it back to the table? The more you humble yourself before the people you're trying to lead and they see you humble, the more willing they are to follow. In fact, I would even go to say humility in leadership may be one of the most attractive qualities of leadership people are willing to follow, especially for people who are attempting to lead churches.
And in some ways, you're always relearning this one. So it's not just at Leadership Network where you had to relearn this. In the situation you're in right now, you're having to relearn this.
Absolutely, totally.
I mean, you're the guy who goes around and speaks about church revitalization. Come on, guys, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. But that kind of reasoning never works.
Yeah. And saying that, there are times, even in this role, that I've had to say, listen, guys, I've done this before, you know? So there are times I have to remind them that this is not my first time to do this, But at the same time, I can't come in with all the answers. Clearly, you know, I've got this, here's my briefcase, and I've got all the things you're going to need to do. It's just not going to work.
So, arrogance of the pastor. Yeah, what's the second?
Yeah. Second one is power struggles and tired structures. Power struggles and tired structures. It's notorious, absolutely notorious. That's like a wall you're going to have to break through. Some of the bureaucracy of our churches are so complicated, we can't react to the fast-changing society in which we live. And then there are power brokers in every church. You've had them in your churches who try to manipulate things. They try to do things their way, and they are obstacles and roadblocks in moving the church forward. That may be the pastor, it may be somebody on staff, or it may be somebody who gives a lot of money. It may be somebody, because I was talking to a pastor the other day, and his problem is all of his key leadership, like serving on the key committees and deacon chairs and all that, they're all related. And they kind of self-populate themselves, you know, they reelect themselves and that sort of thing. So I just, you know, had to be honest with him. I don't know that you're going to be able to move the ball forward until you break down some of those power struggles. And I'm not saying that's easy. In fact, that's really, really difficult, but I'm not sure you can revitalize if you don't.
What are some of those that you've faced? Do you have any example that comes to mind?
Some of the power struggles, or tired structures. I've faced lots of tired structures, and that's when it takes too long to get anything done. The power struggles are a lot of times dealing with major programs in the church, or where finances go to, pet projects, things like that, that they are so intense. And trying not to call one out, you know, that somebody listening could say, oh, I know what you're talking about. But there could be a ladies' ministry program of some sort, you know. And in times it may have been worked. It doesn't necessarily work anymore. But they control this is a totally made up one, okay? So let's say there's a ladies' Bible study program that meets on Wednesday mornings, and it's tired, and it doesn't grow anymore, and it's very outdated, and just doesn't work. Nobody wants to go to it except a few ladies. But they are powerful ladies. You know, they have influence in the church. They're well-known in the church. Maybe they're good givers in the church. And then you've got an opportunity to launch a new ministry on Wednesday mornings that has the potential to reach lots of people. But you can't do it because that one small Bible study is in the way. That's a power struggle. And
got it.
And you'll have to work through that in order to really move things forward.
Got it. So an example of this, this is helping me because when I was in revitalization in the church I was at before, I was just unaware of the dynamic. But we had people who wanted to rent our space on Monday nights, and it was going to invite a lot of different families and people into our space from the community. But it was on Monday nights that they wanted it, and we had a group of about four or five people who would, they were already doing something in the space. And that's the exact situation you're talking about.
They didn't want to give it up. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the next one is making changes. Now this is huge. This is huge, Nate. Making changes without changing the way changes are made. Sounds like a play on words. It's not. And I see it over and over and over again. You try to change something in the church, but you didn't change the way changes are made. For example, hiring a staff. if the policy at the church controls how the staff are hired, and it has to go through committee after committee after committee, or search process, or complicated, or whatever, and then you come in and there's somebody you really want to get on your team, but you don't want to have to go through all those hoops, or don't think you can go through all those hoops in time to get the person that you're looking for, and so you just hire the person. That will be a disaster potentially in moving the church forward, because you didn't change the way changes are made. And so the hard work is changing the way changes are made. It's changing the process of how do we hire here. It's changing the bylaws. It's changing all the structure. But do that hard work first, and then you'll be able to make the changes you need to. You know, at the church, last church we were at, I tried to follow their rules as best as I could the first 3 years. And it was complicated. It was inefficient. It was messy with, you know, talk about the power struggles and all that, time consuming. It was all of that. But we had to work on changing the way changes are made. And then we could really get to work and do the work of revitalization.
And a lot of times pastors will go around the system. Why?
Well, because it's easier, you know, or it seems at the time easier, or it's less, there's less conflict involved. And pastors are notoriously are not great on handling conflict. Or, you know, maybe it's ignorance, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but just I simply don't realize that I'd be better off to do it this way first. And so, yeah, do the hard work first, and then you'll be able to hopefully revitalize the church.
Got it.
And the last one is probably the most repeated, and it's simply attempting too much too soon. So you come into a church and you're wanting to revitalize the church, and you see 1,000 things that need to be changed, at least 100, you know, dozens. And you try to put all of them into place in the first year. And what happens is you just literally blow people's minds. They get change fatigue. They cannot hold up under the weight of all of that change. And so it just derails everything. Instead, you need to find a healthy rhythm of change management where you're changing. I focus on 3 to 5 major things at a time. Now, when I went to Emmanuel, there was so much there, again, 100 different things. I focused on 7. That's a stretch for me. In that first year, we tried to address 7 pretty major initiatives. But from then on, but only 1 or 2 of those were like major, you know, where you're going to potential to split the church. And we took a year to make those. So slow down, do the marathon, not the sprint, and you'll have more success in church revitalization.
Awesome. That's a great word, I think, for anybody who's walking through that. This isn't a cliche, but people said it to me, and I didn't believe it. But it was true that young guys overestimate what they can accomplish in 1 year, and they underestimate what they could accomplish in 10 years.
That's great. Great word.
Thanks for listening to the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast. For more information about Ron, check out ronedmondson.com.
Have you listened to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast yet? The one hosted by Todd Adkins and Chandler Vinoy? They're a part of our Lifeway podcast family. They recently interviewed Darren Gray, Jamie Ivey, Pete Scazzaro, and many more. Just look up 5 Leadership Questions on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.